Welcome to Coach Your Brains Out, the show that explores learning from the top minds in volleyball and beyond. With your hosts, John Mayer, Billy Allen, Andrew Fuller, and Nils Nielsen.
Today, we're thrilled to welcome to the show 2012 silver medalist and current assistant coach for the U.S. national team, Tama Miyashiro. Tama, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. So excited to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to chat it up. But first, I kind of want to know what you've been doing to stay sharp during this quarantine where you don't get to coach like we all love to.
Yeah, it's I feel like I went through a couple phases that I'm sure even you guys went through too. But, you know, at first it's kind of like, dang, what's happening? And so many unknowns. And, you know, when we first were told to stay at home, we didn't even know what the deal was with our big tournament, our Nations League. We didn't know about our second big tournament, the Olympics. And so when we were first told, hey, you know, we're not coaching, we're not practicing, we're not going to the office, there was so many questions as we all know. And so that at that point, it was just kind of operating day to day. We were getting, one piece of information by the day. And meanwhile, our girls are overseas and they're wondering what we're doing. And so there was that point where it was like, you know, I don't know. I don't know a lot. I don't know what's about to happen, but I'm going to try to take it day by day. And then we, you know, a couple weeks into it, we found out that the Olympics were postponed. And so there's that whole, just that emotional roller coaster of our girls were prepped and they're, you know, getting ready to make their run at this Olympic roster, you know. And then, yeah, we get one more year. And of course, as you can imagine, we have older athletes. And so it's adding another year onto their belt. It's staying healthy. It's staying fit. And then we have some younger athletes that's like, hey, man, I got another year to develop, learn, get pushed, possibly go play another season of overseas. And so I think there was so many emotions, and our girls were just studly about it. And I'm sure, you know, I can say that now, and I'm sure it was so hard for some of them, but I applaud our group. They took some time to kind of figure some things out and figure out how they felt about it. And then they got back to work, and we try to be good about giving them some space and trying to, you know, set up those weekly Zoom meetings and, you know, not too much, not too little and all that. So that was kind of like, at least with the USA team. And I think, you know, personally, I'm a younger coach. And so it was trying to find ways to get better at just everything that I was trying to do. And it gave me some time to look at our season, our 2019 season, gave me time to connect with some athletes. And, you know, there's things that you just, it's hard to address when you know you have to go play in a tournament and you have 2 days to train with that athlete. And now, I don't know, you have a little more time so you can dive deeper to a few things and watch a video and kind of like nerd out. And so we try to do that approach. And, you know, for me, I'm a volley nerd, but I'm also like, I just like learning about all these random things with volleyball and life too. But I try to, I don't know, devote some time to get better at just studying the game. And I don't know, you guys all know how long to read articles about stuff that we're trying to get better at, to watch videos, to listen to coaches and reach out to people that, you know, they have a lot of knowledge to share. And so reaching out and finally being able to sit down and kind of sit with my thoughts and what I learned and kind of figure out how to apply those. So it's been a lot. I would say it was a busy time for me in a really good way, you know, considering just the state of, there's some people who had to get laid off, and I'm just trying to make the most of the time that I had And, you know, kind of like we talked about earlier, it's been a while since we've gotten like kind of a break. And so I've tried to use that and turn it to a positive as soon as I could, but for sure it was hard.
Yeah, you get an extra year to get better at coaching before the Olympics. That's a good way to look at
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, our topic today is serve receive and reading the game. If we start with serve receive, what are some of the things you see the best passers in the world doing really well in serve receive?
Such a good question. I'll be the first one to say there's so many different ways to pass the ball. And throughout playing and my few years of coaching, I think one of the things I see a lot of the better passers, I would say, is they're just really quiet in like anything that they do when it comes to passing. And obviously that's a very relative term in this sense, but our passers strive to be just really simple and quiet. And so for me, that means, there's not a ton of extra movement before the serve, while they're tracking the serve, while they're actually passing, they're holding and trying to hold their finish. And so I think in some of the other passers that I've seen that, aren't on our team, like for example, Gabi from Brazil had a really good year, and just watching some of her movements, she's getting a good look of off the server's contact. And one way you can see that is just she just moves right to the line of the serve, and her actual movement and is there are there is a little more movement than I would say some of our passers, but in general, it's really quiet from point A to point B, and their angle is doing a lot of the work. There's not a ton of legs involved. They're obviously using their legs to get to the ball and get closer to that line. But with the speed of serves that we see, there's not a lot of swinging across the line or, a lot of arm bend. And if there is, that arm bend is really early. So just, I don't know, that's a pretty vague description, but hopefully you guys can get a picture of that. But yeah, just really quiet and simple.
Yeah, no, you painted a good picture, and this sort of stuff's always hard to explain while talking and not showing. I feel like sh showing it, is a lot easier. Like just if we could just see a picture of you passing, it's a lot simpler. But no, it definitely makes sense. So if you're gonna work with a new athlete, even like a new athlete to the USA gym, where do you see your kind of your eyes first go as a coach when you're watching them in serve receive?
Yeah, great question. So for me, I will just look at their platform. So talking from like shoulders all the way down to their hands. And I guess what I'm trying to understand is almost their understanding of how to create these angles. And so I think it's really it's nice when I see a player for the first time, and they just have that understanding of like, all right, this shoulder has to tilt kind of this way to get the ball moving that way. In this position on this serve, they have some understanding and some experience of like, I can get this ball to go that way by doing this. So that's like very interesting to me, and I think you can tell really fast that way, just kind of where a player is at. And I think another thing is just how active that platform is. And, I grew up kind of with this like really big arm bend. And then I would kind of like, I would get my platform out kind of early, but from like the start to the finish, it was so like extra, like just too much, So it's kind of one of those things where I notice arm, like a early arm bend or like kind of like a, I don't know, a scooping or kind of swinging across the line. I notice when girls or just athletes in general, their platform's just quiet. So my eyes go there really quickly. And then I would say in my short career of coaching now, the next thing is just how they're using their feet to help them with that process. And that's a it's a big difference that we see with, at least I see with elite passers and, some younger players is Like their ability to just move to the ball and shuffle and really push off, there's like a really big difference. And so, it's something we're working on with a lot of our girls too. But I would say those two things. And of course, that reaction, that movement tells me a lot about their eyes. And so that would be probably, I don't know, a result of me watching their body.
And can you, for our listeners, can you talk about what you mean by the line and what crossing the line means?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm sure people have heard it before, but for me, Karch describes this idea of just the ball, the serve coming off the server's hand, and that path that ball is going on, or however you want to call it, in, is we just call that the line of the serve. And, you know, obviously that's not like super straight all the time, but we're identifying that path as a line. And then when we talk about swinging across the line, it's just their platform. And we, in general, we want to stay and we want to move within that same line when we pass. So for example, if I kind of start from one side, like say like laterally right to left, and I'm trying to pass forward, like some people will literally swing their arms, their platform across laterally, but you've got to push the ball back up from where it came from. And so you're kind of adding one more angle to it. And we like to keep it pretty simple and just making sure it's one move up in the same angle that the ball came to us at.
Great. Yeah, it's a good picture of it. And since passers pass more accurately in their midline, do you try to help have your players take most serves in their midline, or how do you work with that?
Yeah, such a I get this question a lot, and a variety, I guess, of the same idea. So for me, I think the one thing that I talk about with our players and like the one presentation that I gave, if we are saying their midline is just dead center, okay, we like to actually coach our girls to take the ball slightly off center, okay? So we're talking like inches, because for sure we are stronger when our platform's a little closer to our body. That's just how it is. Core, strength, shoulders, whatever muscle group you want to call it, we're just stronger there. So you're going to have a little more control. But in our gym, we consider just dead center as midline, and we are kind of avoiding that. Now there's going to be some serves that we can pass dead center on our midline. It's going to be fine. But the truth is we see serves that move a lot and are coming in really fast. So for sure you guys have played with the Mikasa ball, but for those who haven't, this blue and yellow ball that we play at the international level, it moves so much that we find if it has any type of pace on it and we keep that ball right in our midline, like I was talking about, like dead center, that if that moves at all up or slightly off to the side, it's really hard to adjust. So we actually coach to take it slightly off midline. Now, all is to say, there are some people who identify midline as like their body line. So within their body, that would be different, you know. So for us, just in this conversation, our terminology is dead center in the middle, but we are working to get it slightly off to one side. And the biggest reason for that is just we're able to adjust and keep our shoulders forward and over the ball and in control. And so sometimes, you know, we have to be really good. A cue that I use a lot is called picking a side. And, I try to tell and teach players, like, now I'm not talking like the ball comes at you, you're completely trying to pass it at your fingertips, like not that type of side. We just want it slightly off your midline. So, I played for Jim McLaughlin at Washington, and, we were taught take that ball midline and obviously left next and maybe not so much the right. And it was such a good way to just train and have some structure to it. And what I'm finding is that, you know, our girls facing some of the best servers in the world, we have to have like so many tools. And so picking a side is like a big thing for us.
Cool. And I guess you mentioned being quiet in pre-serve. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some different styles. Like some people do like a little tennis hop or like walking into a serve. Maybe it's more on the beach. But so do you think it's better to be completely still and stopped when you're waiting for the server to make contact?
Yeah, I think we strive to be pretty balanced and stopped. And at least for me, it's based off of, we don't want to guess. I think there's some servers that we face, and even in our own gym, that ball, one, it can move so much left to right. And we just see really good servers. And so once we have like a little lean in there, once we have, I don't know, a negative step, let's say, it just becomes really hard to be efficient. And you're gonna see some other top liberos that are a little, moving maybe a little bit more than we are. But if you really watch them and study them, like right before contact, a lot of them are actually really balanced. And so we are stopped. If you watch USA play, our girls are stopped, and we take more of the approach, like I'm ready to move type of thing. And if we make adjustments, we have like very specific changes that we'll make. And some are going to be, actually most of them are going to be before the serve. So we might pinch or adjust if we need to change something. So we're definitely a little more still. And, you know, we do have a couple girls that like to put in their routine, like a pre-serve or pre-pass routine, where they have this little like two-step thing. But when you actually watch it right before at contact, they're really balanced and they're on the balls of their feet and they're ready to go. So I think there's a lot of ways to do it. And I think some people, you know, they like to have that little like pre-hop or split step and stuff, but a lot of our girls are pretty quiet and still, I would say.
This might be like a 1% thing, but if you're playing against like an elite server who hits lots of aces, is there any value in trying to like kind of mess with them and like lean one way before they toss it? Or like, you know, I don't know if you've seen passers do that. Do you see any value there?
You know what? I am a firm believer in when a server goes on a run, and obviously, like you said, we hope we aren't facing a lot of runs, but they're on their third serve, let's say. So they've already scored a bunch. And I'm a firm believer that you have to give them something different to look at. Okay, so what that means, that's like vague, I understand. So it could just be a pinch where we have one of our passers move closer to who we think is going to get targeted. Maybe it's a bro moving closer to an outside hitter. And the idea behind it is just, again, we have some really good servers, but if I can make them think twice about something, then I'm going to try to do that and not change too much. Not anything drastic. I don't really tell them to move as they're serving, but enough, like early enough is going to get a lot of the servers that we play to think about it. And we have there's a bunch of good spin servers that we see. So we might make small adjustments, and a lot of it is just based off like information we already know. And so we haven't really tried like a lean or anything, but we will set up differently if we think that that's going to kind of break their rhythm or something. I think it's important to have that because we can't be just doing the same thing when a team is on a run, you know?
Yeah, Tama, I don't know if you ever watched him play, but John is famous for the Karate Kid crane technique in pre-serve to mess with the server.
John, I got to come check that out, though, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really effective.
scares the other when side we get miss back up. To volleyball, I'm coming.
Yeah, we've been working on it all quarantine, so
watch out.
Watch out. What you mentioned, you know, jump spin serves. Do you, I know there's a lot less jump spin serves, especially in the women's game, but you guys see some. But is there, do you think, a difference in the way you use your platform? Like, do you change, or do you change the way you teach how people finish with their platform?
You know, what I tell them is to just get out earlier. So with their platform, just making sure we get a good look at their contact, you know, and I think what's kind of to our advantage or the receiving team is they have like just a really strong tendency in how they hit the ball, you know, and so you can pick up on some cues and just some patterns. And so, like, for example, we play one jump spin server who just has like a little bit of wrist away every time. It doesn't matter. Like, the target could be in zone one, but the ball is going to go to six or five, you know? And so what we just try to do is make sure we're prepped as much as possible, and then encouraging our girls to get their platform out early, because that's just naturally going to change the angle and keep the ball off the net. So that's one thing I would tell them. One player that has gone overseas has told me that her coach has told her to address it like defense. And so she started bending her arms, you know, like she was like about to dig a ball. But again, if you like look at it in slow motion, the act of actually getting your angle out earlier, you're going to end up the same movement as if your arms are straight. So I think, yeah, I mean, there's different things, but I try to just make sure our girls are assertive in this move that they make, and their platform's out early. And with that, that angle is going to be nice and off the net. And that's what we're aiming for when we pass spin servers. So.
Yeah, where is your ideal target? And I guess for listeners, would it change based on the age and level of play?
We aim about 2 to 3 feet off the net in the middle of the court. And I hope that description was good enough. I heard a guy was like, I just heard USA coach say they passed really far off the net in the middle of the court. It's like, no. It's 2-3 feet off the net, the middle of the net. So the middle of the court thing, I know a lot of people aim, you know, one step to the right, and there's 4 feet off. I've played in a system that it's more like 4 feet off, and that was in college. But we have discussed with our team that on a tough serve we're aiming off no matter what. But if it's a serve, you know, let's say we're in control, we've tracked it well, we'll get 3 feet. We have a couple tall setters now, so we get away with 2 to 3, but I would say 3 feet is really good. I think that I just like the game off the net. And so there is some space to be a little further off, like 4 feet. I have only coached our team and have, you know, seen, you know, obviously I've played in college, but I'm assuming the college game 4 would be great. And I have no idea about anyone younger, just because I haven't. I think the only time I've ever coached younger kids is in camps. So definitely I'm an advocate for off the net. So. Nothing too tight.
Nice. And I watched some video of you passing and noticed that you really hold your platform to target. What are the benefits of keeping your hands together after you've passed the ball?
Oh yeah, we talk about this a lot. We tell our passers to hold a lot. And like another phrase would be hold your finish. And what I find is the ball just tends to stay closer to where we want it to go when we hold. And hold is, it has to do with everything. It's your platform, your actual wrist and hands. It's, you know, we're trying to hold our position with our feet and legs and hips and all that. Of course, it's not always possible, so we understand that. But our girls are just trying to hold whatever angle they have and what they can, you know, just freeze right after contact. And that ball, we just find it stays in the middle of the court. It stays in front of us more often than it goes, you know, on a tough serve behind us, or it's our platform is stronger. And so we, for example, like we could get some young players in our gym passing the Mikasa ball at first, and you can tell their like wrists and hands are like that grip is just not strong. So what happens is their platform literally breaks apart. And then that's when you see the ball coming off the net. That's when you see the ball going straight up instead of forward. That's when you see it going on the side. So it's, for me, it's an accuracy thing. And then it just keeps us as much as we can in control of the ball. So we're actually, even some of our most veteran passers are working on that. And I think what's hard about it is there's just a lot of force, and we're trying to manage all these things. We're trying to be on the, we trying to be on our second step after we pass what we're hitting. And so there's these things that we just have to do after we pass. And so, you know, taking that, what, quarter of a second, I don't know, to hold a little stronger, we find the balls, yeah, a little bit more accurate. Our passes are a little more accurate.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. I feel like in passing drills, it's really easy to have a really long finish. But do you see it transfers to the game with maybe your outside hitters and people that are they able to still hold?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a work in progress. I think we can see with like the speed that we're playing, it's really hard sometimes, especially if our outside hitter in zone five, let's say she passes the ball on the right and has to get on her second step, and that serve was kind of deep, you know, like we are in a hurry. Don't get me wrong. It's not a very smooth thing, but our girls, some of them have played just in our system for a while. So they do a fairly good job, but there's always just a little bit room for improvement. Because we know how deadly we can be when we're running in system, you know? So I think, for sure we always can hold a little bit better. And, when we do that, it definitely helps. At least it could be the difference between passing the ball literally, on the 10 foot line or the 8 foot line, or that can mean the difference between the 8 foot line and the 6 foot line. So, you know, these little details, like you guys know how important these little details are. Once you come off the net and you're running your offense from a little further, all these percentages changes, you know? So, we're trying to be really good at that, and it's a work in progress, but for sure, I think accuracy has, you know, that helps for sure.
What would you do as a player? I know this didn't rarely happen, but if you did get aced once every 5 years, what would you do to kind of rebound? Cause I mean, you know, when you get aced, the next ball is coming your way.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when you like, we're starting to ask me that question. I remember this one time I first got into the national team, and like I told you, the ball, this Mikasa ball is like the devil, but like I got aced so much in that first month. Like I think people, you know, they get to see everyone in matches with the jersey on, and you know, you might get aced, might not, but like, man, in training, when you first get to play with like really good servers and the Mikasa ball, it's like, all right, that puts you in your place. So just talking about this idea of like resetting, I think a lot of us use this term, but you know, there's a couple thoughts I have like right off the bat. I think one, as a group, as a national team, we do this thing in training where we purposely serve at our liberos, and we actually coined it Blitz the Bro. And one of the reasons is that we played a team a few years ago that was going at our libero. And obviously, people have serving targets, right? But just this whole idea of like, you know, you have the libero jersey on, you shouldn't be served so much. But there are some teams who sometimes will just serve at one because they have, you know, some numbers and they think their offense goes down. And, you know, for us, our libero's there three times. So it's like getting someone these reps where there's just a lot of stress. Okay. So you might not pass a really good ball, you might or whatever. So it's like taking them through some just really like a lot of discomfort. And so I think part of this whole resetting thing, you can train. Obviously, there's some mental skills that you can build too, and maybe I'll just touch upon that later. But as a whole, we try to put some stress on our players, and this is just an opportunity to respond, you know. So it's part of the game. I think I went through my career at one point thinking, man, if I get ace, like I suck. And then someone told me, like, you know that people get aced, right? And so, first of all, I think this idea towards the mindset towards it is it can happen. And so now let's not strive to never get aced. Let's strive to like be really good. And then I have some response after, you know, getting aced. So, and then the second part would be just like some tools. So first, there's just a lot of good service. So trying to see the situation for like what actually happened. So a lot of times what I found is if I got into trouble, it's because I, you know, obviously I didn't see the line as well as I thought, but you know, it could have been like, I thought the person was going to serve this way. And so I had like a little lean or like a little negative step. And sometimes it's nice to see that on video, but if you're in a game, I try to move on ASAP. And my teammates were always really good about just, hey, next one. And I think teammates develop that language, and they, as they start to get to know each other, you can figure out what that person needs. You know, it's like you feel like the world's watching you. You feel like all this pressure. And like you said, you know the ball's coming to you again. And so being able to move forward and then just get back into your routine. And so a good deep breath. Making sure you went through that same routine of discussing what team you have. And I don't know, if things are getting really weird, you ask for help, you know, you, hey, help me out in the seam. I have this space and I have this space, and you kind of go from there. But I found the sooner I could just move on from it was better. And then I relied heavily on that routine to get me in a good mindset before the next serve. And so you just keep it simple. Remind yourself to hold or remind yourself to see it off her hand and whatever it is. And then you just kind of own it, but for sure it's not easy, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. What kind of pre-serve and I guess during serve talk are your passers doing? They're always calling out seams every time. Yeah. What does that sound like?
Yeah. They're seams for sure. Every time we really like eye contact with each other, you know, it's, I think it's a really good connector to look someone in the eye and, hey, I have your short. And we've also, you know, we've actually talked about this, and we also like high fives. And so majority of the time, a lot of the time, our girls are talking about the seam that they have. They're looking that person in the eye, and they're giving them a high five. And our girls are really good about it. And I think, you know, I was part of some of those discussions early on when I was still a player. And what we kind of like came to like agree on is that helps build trust, and that helps clear up a possible like really complicated situation. You know, you have a lot of space, you have a good server, you have the history. You have the speed of the serve, you have all these things. And so what that does is it builds some trust, and it kind of takes you through this routine where like, okay, now I can reset and go through my routine and I can be ready. So, yeah, if anyone listening watches us play, look for those little details. And I think we do that really consistently. And, you know, I've even coached on other teams where I had to be like, yo, talk about what seam you're taking. Like, they just, you know, they haven't played in a system where that was so important. And so we try to be good about that. And I think the overlying theme here is just like, we can control that. You know, we can control our communication before the serve. So if that's going to help us get that much closer and shrink the margins, then we're going to do it, and we're going to do it well. So that's a little backstory about what we do before the serve.
That was part one with Tama Miyashiro. Join us next week when Tama returns to talk about reading the game here on Coach Your Brains Out by Gold Medal Squared.